It's 1955. I'm in Hampstead in London. And there's been a murder. The subject of today's murder is not one of mystery, nor one of great detective work, involving the examination of many clues in the minutest degree to find the killer. The murder in this instance is famous, well studied and highly documented, and regarded by many as a classic. A film has been made about the case, and yet, if it were not for one important fact, the whole affair would have passed with little lasting impact and become lost in the annals of crime forever. The killer was a woman. This is the story of Ruth Ellis, the last woman to be hanged in England. On the 10th of April, 1955, around 9 p.m., David Blakely, a racing driver, was gunned down in cold blood outside the pub he had been drinking in North London. With several bullets fired into him at close range, his body twitched as the life literally poured out of him, his blood mixing in the gutter with the beer from the smashed bottles he had been carrying. Ruth Ellis, a platinum blonde of 28, had murdered the man she loved. 93 days later, she would be hanged, and her life also snuffed out. But why? Why had she done this terrible act of brutality? What were the circumstances that led up to that violent death on Easter Sunday in 1955? What drives a woman to obtain a revolver, lurk in the dark shadows, and lie in wait for her victim? And then strike so callously, so mercilessly, and commit cold-blooded murder.
I'm with my friend Stephen Smart, who's agreed very kindly to help me on the deciphering of this dreadful murder. And it's not much of a mystery, it's more of a drama, isn't it, Stephen?
Yes, it is.
We're actually in Mayfair at the moment, looking at the victim's house, where he used to live. 28, what is it?
Culross Street.
Culross Street.
It's actually behind the American Embassy in Grosvenor Square, central London. You can see the flag there?
Yeah, I can.
That's the embassy.
Oh, is that the embassy?
Yeah.
Now, this street, it's just off in the Mayfair area, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's a quiet street now, and I guess it's like an enlarged mews, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, that's right.
With a lot of interesting-looking property that dates back... Georgian periods are we looking at?
Yeah, Georgian.
And we're actually standing outside 28, which is where David Blakely lived.
David Blakely was the product of a public school education and the result of a wealthy middle to upper class background. He was a child of a broken marriage, and most of his life he had been spoilt by his parents. Although a young man with limited powers of serious conversation or analysis and debate, he had enormous self-confidence with one main interest in life, racing cars. And all that went with it, the booze and the women.
But in one of these flats, now we don't know off the top of our heads which particular flat, but I'm going to go and get a picture.
I think it's actually the whole building, because you can see from the door there's only one button, one access. And what's also quite convenient, Blakely being a racing driver, there's two garages at the ground floor here, which would be nice for his big cars, and his racing car, and working out during the weekend, probably.
So we can picture the scene, can't you, on a summer's
yeah.
day,
yeah.
him and his racing driver mates,
yeah.
and all that lot. I mean, I believe he knew Stirling Moss, didn't he?
That's right, yeah.
They could quite easily have had a few soirees here.
Oh, yeah. And a
fiddling
few
with a few beers, fiddling with cars.
Yeah.
And but he was a young man.
Yeah, very young, in his 20s.
In his early 20s. So he'd really only just got going in the racing driving scene.
Yeah.
It was to be that same fast lane, overindulgent lifestyle that would shortly bring about his demise. He was about to meet the woman who would shortly take his life. Ruth Ellis was born on October the 9th, 1926, in Rhyl, a seaside town on the north coast of Wales. Her birth name was Ruth Nielsen. Her father was a musician, and together the family would travel the country. But his career never really got off the ground, and he turned to drink, and with that, depression. And so began the beginnings of a vicious cycle that would haunt Ruth for the rest of her life. Eventually, her father found work in London and took a flat there. Ruth, at 16, jumped at the chance of moving in with him to be in that great city. She was determined to make something of herself. She started dyeing her naturally dark hair with peroxide and took full advantage of her good looks and slim figure. Although she was short-sighted, she refused to wear glasses. During the war years, Ruth continued to live it up in London, going to dances, dating soldiers, and having fun. She had little fear of the German planes overhead, and her confidence grew and grew. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest. In 1942, she became ill with rheumatic fever and was told that dancing would strengthen her body. And she took to this like a duck to water. Through this dancing, she met a French-Canadian soldier at the Lyceum Ballroom, and shortly after, she became pregnant. Unfortunately, however, the soldier was already married, and abruptly he disappeared out of her life, leaving some flowers and a note. Another nail in the coffin, as the first seeds of rejection and abandonment began to set in. But Ruth continued with the pregnancy and gave birth to a son and called him Andy. Being a mum stuck at home was not for this brassy blonde, and Muriel, her elder sister, played surrogate mother to Ruth's child, allowing her to pursue other things. Soon, Ruth was posing nude at the camera club and had her first taste of lecherous men ogling her and eager to meet her afterwards and take her out for drinks and more. The sort of places these men would take her were the clubs in the West End of London. Dingy, seedy places, where smoke was stale, but the drinks were plentiful and virtually anything was for sale.
We're just walking up Duke Street now, and we've just passed the London Marriott, which is a very classy hotel. And as we start to sort of follow in the footsteps of, you can just feel the wealth of the people who were in the area.
Oh, yeah.
And as you said just now, Stephen, that you can obviously surmise that some of the businessmen who were staying over there at the London Marriott Hotel, yeah, this massive Georgian hotel,
yeah,
here in Mayfair, would have quite happily have drifted over to a slightly seedy little club,
uh-huh,
to meet a few ladies for drinks and lose their money.
Of course.
It was at one of these clubs that Ruth met a man that was to indeed push her on her way to meeting David Blakely, the young racing driver, and to begin a torturous love affair that ended in such a violent and bloody way. It was at the Court Club, at 58 Duke Street, just off Grosvenor Square, that Ruth met a man called Maurice Conley.
We're standing outside 58 Duke Street, which was the original Court Club,
yeah,
in its early day, and possibly something before that. It's obviously originally, again, Victorian building, which would have been Flats, apartments, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, up above flats, apartments. Ground floor, maybe shops or entrances. And probably, as you can see from the grills, there would have been a basement here.
Ah, you see now, because just explain that Stephen is trained as an architect or has architectural training, and that's just the kind of detail that probably would have gone past me, but you know, observing the grills. So yeah, so an underground basement. So
yeah,
it's funny because as I read this, I assumed the club was upstairs, but
well,
maybe the club was possibly downstairs.
Yeah, downstairs.
And it's all changed now. There's a tacky, cheap and cheerful number 58 adhesive letters stuck on the marble pillars by the arched windows, which in their day would have been dressed a whole lot better.
Maurice Connolly was a wealthy club owner. He was short, fat and ugly, but a smooth operator. It took little persuasion from Connolly to suggest Ruth become a hostess at the club. She had the perfect credentials. She was blonde, slim, bubbly, and single. Connolly, an odious, smarmy excuse of a man, formed an alliance with Ruth for 9 years, paid her well, and made her manageress of a number of clubs as time went on. But in return, he used her for sexual favours and abused her when he was drunk. But then, there was nothing new in this for Ruth Nielsen. The money was good, the pace was fast, and the nightlife never ended. Ruth knew how to handle the men and would make herself only available for those clients of high standing, and that made her feel important.